That was the seventh inning stretch on Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian. It's Monday, September the 22nd in the morning. And we're on Flavor Living Radio. Before we go to Scarf and Cough, we wanted to give a hint of our next show. That was the seventh inning stretch. That's baseball. Yes, that is baseball. Next month, World Series at the end of October. And you know, where there's baseball, there's food. And we want to go where there's lots of food. What's going on? I can't tell you much, any more hints about the show, but we wanted to bring a little sounds and effects from baseball. You know, I mean, so far I know the teams that are in, let's see, the Nationals made it, Washington Nationals, the Baltimore Orioles, and I know there's going to be a couple more teams. We'll see how the Dodgers do. I know the Angels made it in there. So, but again, you can't wait just to see what's going on at a baseball stadium. I can't wait to tell you guys. But again, we're on to the UK with Scarf and Corf. See you soon.
Channelradio.co.uk.
Scarf and Quaff Show with Jules Serkin on Channel Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Scoff and Quaff Show on channelradio.co.uk on September the 16th. Those discerning listeners amongst you will recognise immediately that Jill Serkin is not with you.
Yeah, she's down on holiday again.
She's down.
Yes.
would have done enough. But she is on holiday once more.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the 9th or 10th time.
The 9th or 10th holiday this summer alone, yeah. According to those on Twitter that are keeping count of such things. Yeah. And I'm afraid you've got to put up with me for the next hour, but ably assisted by Dr. John. So do welcome to Scoff and Quaff Show. There is a rumour going around that Jules is onto her second carafe of breakfast sangria.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's probably par for the course.
Absolutely, but to be fair, the European Union are sponsoring her to solve the economic crisis in Spain by drinking it dry.
Yes, well, there we are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've got a cracking show today. We've got a slight change in plan. We were proposing to have Harry Covert come on and compare in Jules' absence, but as you can hear, it's changed over to Paul, and that's because Harry's had a family problem overseas and had to fly overseas. But we still have the delightful Debbie Carter, who's going to be talking to us about her delicious black, dark-looking chocolates with cob nuts, I see, in one of them.
It looks pretty nice, yes, though, doesn't it? Yeah.
Jules will really miss that.
Yeah. We're all kind of getting tongue-tied here, just staring at the chocolate, yeah.
And we also have Vizen Anenden, who's an up-and-coming chef at the Duchy Arms in Kennington in London. So we'll be talking to him in about 5 minutes' time. And we will have Steve Wood, or at Love Chilies, talking about Aylesford Farmers Market and what he's been up to. So, and possibly if we have time, we might even have a third phone-in guest.
Cool. Fantastic stuff. I've got a couple of things I want to read out, if possible. I've had an email here, which I just want to share with people, just in case you were thinking of going. It is with great regret, but due to unforeseen circumstances, the Eden Valley Business Show, which is due to take place this Thursday, the 18th of September, has been cancelled. And that's due to unforeseen circumstances. But please note, the Eden Valley Chamber do hold monthly networking events around the Eden Valley area. And anyone who would like to be included on that mailing list should send an email to networking@EdenValleyB2B. That's the number B. EdenValleyB2B.co.uk. So sorry to hear that that's been cancelled, but I'm sure that it will be rescheduled in due course.
Yeah. I've also got a note from the Fancy Goat, at the Fancy Goat. They're looking for a chef de partie. And if you're interested, go on to Twitter at the Fancy Goat and look up the details. They're looking for a chef de partie, must have experience working under pressure and willing to learn and fall under the wonderful Roberto. So please get in contact with them if you're looking for a job as a chef de partie.
Fantastic. Next door to us here in the studio at Channel Radio, there is a bistro called Katie's Bistro. which took a lot of thinking up, didn't it?
It did indeed.
Because it's a bistro owned by Katie.
Katie Kendall, in fact.
Katie Kendall's bistro. And very nice it is too. And I highly recommend that you pay them a visit. And you could do so on Friday the 26th of September, because in fact they have a coffee and cake day in aid of Macmillan. So all proceeds going to a Macmillan charity. So do join them for their coffee morning on Friday the 26th of September at Katie's Bistro here at Hagland's Farm, Burmarsh, near Dymchurch.
Okay, thank you. Okay. And I've also got another announcement from Jessica Tucker at the Urban Food Fest in London in Shoreditch High Street every Saturday. And this coming Saturday on the 20th, they have the Oktoberfest, which was a success last year, and they thought they'd repeat it again, with all German stalls and beers and goodness knows what else. And I gather Jessica was saying to me she actually speaks a bit of German as well. Cool. So that's at the on the 20th of September at the Urban Food Fest, and that's at Europcar Parks, 162 to 175 Shoreditch High Street in London, E1.
Cool. Good stuff. I got a tweet earlier from Windmill Veg Box.
Yes, indeed, yes.
Have you seen that? It's Windmill Community Gardens Open Day.
Yes, in Thanet.
Margate, at CT93RU, and that's this Saturday, 12 till 4.
Yeah, 12 till 4.
Yeah, good. So do get along to that if you live over in the East Kent area and you want to partake in the Windmill Community Gardens Open Day.
And also, well, today actually, and every Tuesday, the at Chapel for Le Fern Farmers Market in the Village Hall in Chapel Le Fern from 10 till 12:30, they have a farmers market. So if you're actually in Chapel Le Fern, why don't you pop along there and go to their farmers market today, even?
Go for it. Why not?
Why not, indeed?
I want to give a couple of shout outs as well for some restaurants I've been visiting recently. I should have done it before I went, really, shouldn't I? But having gone and enjoyed it, I thought I'd give them a shout out. Fairly new restaurant, only been open a year or so, the Milk House in Sissinghurst.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that.
Which I find quite pleasant. Certainly they've improved the ambience of the place from what it used to be when it was the Bull. So that's quite nice, and I've thoroughly enjoyed that, and I've only eaten there once a week for the last 6 weeks. So
well, this is the problem with being a bachelor, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed, yeah, and living just around the corner from the restaurant too. I've also spent a fair bit of time in the White Horse in Bearsted just recently as well, and I must give them a shout out because their sticky duck is quite
very
nice.
Sticky.
It's very sticky and very welcome. So a couple of restaurants I've visited recently that I've enjoyed locally. Good stuff. I tell you what then, John, shall we play a bit of tunage?
Yes, and then we can get our guests sorted out.
I was thinking about what tunage to play, and of course, you know what it's like. Jules does annoy me.
No, I'd never have guessed.
Do you not know? I mean, she's been posting photos on Twitter all morning of me being strangulated by her. So I thought I'd
get her own back.
Get my own back. What do you reckon?
Yes, I reckon you should do.
All the ladies fell for Rudolph Valentino. He had a beano back in the balmy days. He knew every time you meet an icy creature, you've got to teach her hot-blooded Latin ways. But even Ludi would have felt the strain of making smooth advances in the rain. All this year I'm off to sunny Spain. Viva España! I'm taking the Costa Brava plane. Viva! Quite by chance to hot romance I found the answer. Flamenco dancers are far the finest bit. There was one who whispered, "Ooh, hasta la vista," each time I kissed him behind the castanet. He rattled his maracas close to me. In no time I was trembling at the knee. All this year I'm off to sunny Spain. Plane. Viva España!
but oh, so tasty as soon as they go brown. I guess they know every fellow will be queuing to do the wooing his girlfriend won't allow. But still, I think today's a lucky day. That's why I've learned the way to shout, hooray! All this year I'm off to sunny Spain.
Hey, viva España!
I'm taking the Costa Brava plane.
Hey, viva España!
If you'd like to check the matador
in some cool cabana
and meet señoritas by the score, España, por favor.
There, that was just for Jules Serkin there on our holidays again.
Yes, always on holiday, isn't she? Anyway, hi, Vizen.
Hi there, John.
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the Scoff Quaff Show. Vizen's a well-established chef. He's currently just opened a new pub, restaurant at the Duchy Arms in Kennington, in South London. Vizen is... has been working for the Prince of Wales estate, the Highgrove estate, for the last 9 years, is it?
9.5 years. Yeah,
9.5.
Just a half out.
And the restaurant is using local produce, some from the Highgrove estate, and also meat from the Home Farm estate, I understand.
Well, yes, basically, yeah. Our meat, pork, beef, lamb, mutton, hogget, all comes off the Home Farm at Highgrove, and we're actually establishing the charcuterie here as well, which is actually the Tamworth pigs that come off the Home Farm, and they're cured by a gentleman called Graham from Native Breeds, and it's, you know, it has been a real learning curve, and I'll just tell you, if I can actually explain to you the whole background of the Duchy Arms itself. I mean, the Duchy Arms itself was a drinker's pub, and it had a very, very, very pretty bad reputation, which we then, it was closed for a year. We decided to pursue it to other business partners. There's three of us involved in this. And so we approached Enterprise, and we finally have taken over the lease. We've come up against a lot of problems. The problem with these buildings, the pubs in particular, there's a lot of hidden problems when you actually start doing the jobs. We've had to rewire the entire building. We had serious problems with the plumbing as well. And, strangely, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when we actually started doing service, we had a major gas leak, which we never envisaged because the gas itself had a real problem. Although... we were told at the time the gas was actually capable of actually dealing with the implements, appliances that we had in the kitchen, but they, you know, somehow it just didn't happen, which then caused us to shut for 2 weeks, and we've opened back up again, and we're actually doing service again. But I'd say that the problem is a lot of these buildings are actually left to get into a bad situation where they're not maintained at all. And when, like, what we envisage it to be, more of a dining area, more, and not to forget also as well that, you know, the British way of eating as well, you know, this artisan, of craft beers and brewing. We're, as British people, we actually are pushing forward in the way we actually understand food in general, and we're trying to reflect this and actually understand that here. But it's actually, we're having to slow it down slightly because... it's a double-edged sword in the sense of the PR side of things, where we don't want to run too quickly and disappoint our clients. But, however...
You've still got a business to run, of course.
It's a very tough business, because We're actually off the beaten track as well, and trying to get the Dutchie Arms established out there. It has been not so difficult, but you know there's a real interest in Kennington about the Dutchie Arms as well, because a lot of the locals remember exactly the reputation it had, and it's trying to actually make them understand what we envisage this place to be, and also as well to make it as local as possible. And to have all the local community come here and drink as well, and not alienate anyone.
Yeah, that's quite a difficult balance to keep, though, isn't it? I know from friends of mine that are in the restaurant business who've had exactly that. They've taken over a local pub and they want to obviously make it into a gastro pub, and there's this sort of almost little sort of ill feeling between the locals and the clientele that you're trying to pull in from the restaurant point of view.
Well, this you've actually said that right, actually, because it's right in the bang in the middle of the residential area, and a lot of locals frequented it as a real drinkers pub. And now that we've brought in, you know, a really good, nice wine list, and also the produce that we're using is actually fantastic, and it just speaks for itself. Well, you don't actually need to do much, you know, learning the simplicity of cuisine that I've been doing for 9.5 years and allowing those ingredients to speak out naturally. You know, the locals are starting to understand it, which is really, really great. We've had some fantastic feedback from them, which has been really, really, really good. And plus, as well, we're only like 5 minute walk down from the House of Parliament as well, so we're very central to where we are. But I'd say that the major issues in trying to start up a business like this, definitely, as always, is staffing. Is a real,
and getting good quality staff as well. That's the
hard part, because you find that, you know, a lot of, for instance, particularly chefs as well, you know, you have chefs coming for trials and on their CV they look fantastic, but once you get them in the kitchen, it's quite disheartening when what their CVs don't actually reflect on what they can produce with a knife and a pan. And I think that seems to be a real big problem in the industry at this present moment. And I know there's a lot of chefs out there who invest a lot of time and effort in training chefs. And there's a lot of academies actually doing that. But I just think there's got to be a lot more done to it
I was talking to some people that have just opened up the Kentish Hare in Kent. I can't remember where. It's just outside Tunbridge, isn't it?
Yeah, somewhere like that.
And they were saying that they spend a lot of time training their chefs. These are the two brothers. And they actually focus, one of them, you know, focuses a lot of his time actually training people up, simply for that very reason, that, you know, you get people coming in applying for jobs and they don't live up to their CV, so to speak. I mean, it's the same in lots of industries. It was same for me in pharmaceuticals. You actually had to do most of the training yourself. But of course, in the pressure of a serving kitchen, it's even more so, isn't it?
Oh, it really is, especially when you're in the flux of service as well.
Yeah.
Because you expect that, you know, you would hope the basic foundation of training as a chef and that would be there, but then you start finding out that's not the case, and then you have to reflect on that and redo it. Yeah. Especially as well, I'm the only sole person in the kitchen at this present moment, and I've had several chefs coming in and out of my kitchen at this present moment. But however, that's not going to dishearten me at all, because, you know, we're really pushing for this place.
Good. And so how are you actually sort of getting out there? I mean, obviously you're saying you're close to the House of Parliament, so you've obviously got a fairly captive audience there. But what sort of promotional tools are you using? Because we use Twitter a lot, and that's
started. I mean, like, we haven't done any major PR section, because the way it's worked at the present moment, we've got the pub area, which we've refurbished totally, and because of issues with the building work that we've had in the pub previously, with finding out problems with the wiring, the plumbing. And that slowed us right down. And we've got a restaurant side that's being refurbished at this present moment as well. That's going to be opened up by the end of September, beginning of October. But we are serving food in the pub area. So it's basically two phases of opening at this present moment. And what we don't want to do is actually get out there too quickly where we get too many people coming in and
you can't deliver.
So we're quite happy to have it.
And that's so important on new businesses, is actually sort of managing that entree into the market. It doesn't matter what business you're in. And my son-in-law's just opened up a business, and he's having exactly the same problem. He's being swamped with potential clients and opportunities, but the last thing you want to do is to fail and not deliver on some of them, because that sort of side of that negative aspects of the business can go a lot further than all your positivity.
Oh, totally, totally. You know, we want to manage their expectations, and we want to deliver at that level.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, I mean, obviously, so you're going to be opening at the restaurant side, you say, in September?
At the end of September, okay. We're at the restaurant.
Well, what we should do is perhaps see if we can get you to come on again in early September as you're about to sort of launch your restaurant side of things and introduce you, and perhaps you'll have a good run up to Christmas.
Hopefully, yes. I'm hoping that, yes, definitely.
Well, we'll see if we can organise that. So thank you very much, Vizen. And can you give us your website?
Our website is basically, and that's another thing as well, because we've actually had problems trying to take the old website down. And it's crazy because we've been trying to get a hold of the old website owners, and there's all these complications with technology which I can't actually understand myself. But my business.
And you're trying to do all the cooking as well.
Yeah, trying to do that and burn a few pounds and that. But however, it's just not. The website we're looking, which should be up and running by the end of the week, is basically dutchyarms.com.
Ah, okay, right. So 3 W's, dutchyarms.com, and of course people can contact you on at Chef Vizen.
Yes, they can.
Okay.
Do as well.
Well, I wish you great luck in your enterprise, and hope all goes well. And I'll be in contact with you probably end of
September.
So probably in the beginning of October.
That'd be brilliant. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming on the air.
Great, thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye for now.
So, Vizen, Dutchy Arms Chef.
Yes, exactly. And apparently is someone we should be keeping an eye on, because Harry Cobo was saying you should be an up-and-coming young chef.
Should be good, yeah. And it's only there just in South London on the Kent-London borders.
Yes, that's right, it's in Kennington.
Yeah, it's not a difficult place to get to, folks. Yeah. So when they're up and running, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
And you can get along there and sample some of what Prince Charles has, basically.
It's 63 Sancroft Street, Kennington.
Cool. Good stuff.
Okay.
I've had a tweet on my Twitter, rather than Scoff and Quaff, from a couple of people. Raj Bari, the Indian restaurant in Sevenoaks, says, hello guys listening in, hope that loads of people are coming to the Sevenoaks Business Awards on Friday evening, so do get along to that.
Okay,
I'll be there.
Of course, you're always into all these things, aren't you?
Well, I'm there because I'm the compere.
Well, it was probably a pretty good reason for being there.
Which is a reasonable reason for being there. And I've also had, bearing in mind what our guest was saying about recruiting and stuff like that, I've had an interesting tweet that's fairly relevant from Jill at Target Your Potential, and other people over in Tunbridge Wells, at the Royal Victoria Tunbridge Wells shopping mall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've got a pop-up shop between Topshop and Monsoon all this week, in which young people looking for their first opportunity in work can go along, find out how to get work, get some mentoring, get some support, and find out details about various types of industries. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, down there are a whole heap of people from Target Your Potential, Burning to Learn, Runway Training, and the Kent Foundation. The event is sponsored by Angel Fix it's Angle Fix.
It's terrible when you get something in your
mind. Yeah, you get something in your head and it just stays there, doesn't it? Fix. Yeah, the ironmongery supply people in high brooms. And also Heliocentric IT are the other supporters, as well as the Business Over Breakfast Club. That event is happening all week at the Victoria shopping mall in Tunbridge Wells. So do pop in to the pop-up shop and find out about how to get into the world of work. It's a fabulous thing. And do participate.
Yeah, I've also got a note here actually about East Coast Dining Room in Tankerton, which is a lovely restaurant there. They're now just got into the Waitrose Good Food Guide for 2015, so it's getting established. And Chef Ryan Smith and his manager Kelly Moss are doing a great job there, and it's great food there. Actually, I've eaten there myself.
Cool.
So I strongly recommend it.
The Cirkin woman has just tweeted again.
Oh, not again!
Yeah, no.
I mean, she can't put it down.
She can't leave it alone. And we're getting the excuses now.
Oh, I see.
I'm in a cafe. That means a bar.
Yes.
Yeah. So the internet is not great, and I'm getting a horrid echo. No, that'll be me and John.
Yes. Well, she shouldn't drink so much Carver, should she? That's the thing.
Absolutely. And Liz Gilson, has tweeted in.
Yes, he has.
Good morning. Someone needs to munch. I was promised chocolate.
Well, we do have some lovely chocolate. I'm looking at it here, and we'll be getting we'll be getting Debbie on to tell us all about her rather yummy-looking chocolate in a moment.
Mm. Good. I'm reading the tweets because I'm getting them on my timeline, but I'm sure you're getting the tweets as well.
I'm getting some. Well, we've had our regular guest, Nurse Liz J, who's from the United States, gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning and listens to...
Washington, I believe.
Yes,
Washington.
And listens to this show and to your show, The Business Bunker, The Inferior Show. And she says someone needs to munch. Mm. Yeah, so we really should get on to munching some of this chocolate in a moment. We will do, Liz.
Yeah.
I can assure you. I mean, fortunately, Jules isn't here, so we will actually get a chance to eat something rather than nothing.
And don't you think the show's going just so much better?
No, it's so much calmer.
It just flows and it's calm and it just happens.
There's no sort of panic and rushing around.
It all just works, doesn't it?
You know, we sat here, from about 9:30, and it was just calm, panic.
Yeah, we finished. We were ready, weren't we?
Well, we were ready by quarter to ten.
We had an hour to go in which we had nothing to do. So Dr. John and I went outside for a quick sunbathe. It was all done and dusted, wasn't it?
Well, it was indeed.
With no aggravation.
The only problem was that alpaca that came up and licked your cheek, wasn't it?
That was horrid. I didn't enjoy that at all. Yeah, well, smelly things.
Yeah, and that's the trouble around here. You've got to be careful of the alpaca.
Yeah, but I didn't see it. I was informed it was an alpaca that did it, but I'm, you know, not entirely sure.
Well, you get some strange things coming down.
Let's not go there.
Okay, so moving swiftly on, should we have a little bit of music? And then we'll lead into the delightful Debbie, where she can talk all about her nice, lovely chocolate.
I like it. Network have hundreds of vacancies across West Kent. We offer ongoing work, weekly pay, and a variety of shift patterns to suit your needs. Visit us at www.tempnetwork.co.uk or call Tunbridge Wells 531-777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Well, it was lovely there. Thank you very much for that advertisement, Paul.
That's all right, anytime. I've got loads of those.
We now have the delightful Debbie Carter from Linton Chocolate. And Debbie's just been opening up some lovely-looking chocolate-coated cob nuts. So, Debbie, I understand that you started your business 15 years ago.
She doesn't look old enough.
No, she's got two young children as well.
She doesn't look old enough.
Three children, is it? And this was because you were given a French, traditional French recipe. Is that
right? I wonder what he was going to say.
We'll talk about that later.
I'm not Jill.
It started off as a hobby, really. It wasn't so much a business 15 years ago, but an uncle of mine had a French girlfriend and she used to make these wonderful, rich chocolate truffles made with strong dark chocolate and just dusted in cocoa, and we all got them at Christmas. You know, they were so rich you could only eat one or two, but they were fabulous. And she gave me the recipe one year, and then she sort of disappeared from the scene, and so I started then making them at Christmas for friends and family, and just gradually really got interested in chocolate. And so I used to, I mean, when I think back now, my first attempts of making sort of caramels and other sorts of filled chocolates, I mean, very, very crude how I used to do it, you know, not very well finished, and the chocolate wasn't even tempered because I didn't know what that was. It's just sort of really self-taught, and as my children got older and went to school, I just thought, well, maybe I can turn this hobby and passion of mine into a living.
Because I remember when I was, because I love cooking as well, and when I was living in Australia, we used to do lots of Christmas chocolates with the kids and making marzipan logs and things like that. And it's great fun to actually involve the children, isn't it?
Yes, it is. My children would love to be more involved, but unfortunately, when you've got orders and then a production line going, it's not
very conducive to a rapid.
No, and I'm not sure it's overly hygienic either when you're.
Yes, I can remember as a father receiving their pastry concoctions that were like sort of rocks when you tried to chew them, and almost the same colour, but one had to eat them in front of them.
Absolutely, yes, and say how wonderful they are.
Even though you broke about three or four teeth in the process. Yes, and tell me, I mean, obviously cob nuts are something that's particularly local to Kent, and we had Alexander Hunt on talking about his cob nuts a few weeks ago, and one of your delightful chocolate, so it's actually Kentish cob nuts covered in dark chocolate, which sound absolutely yummy.
That's right, yes. Well, I do them in milk as well, but I personally think they're better in dark, and I certainly sell a lot more of them in the dark chocolate. So what I do, I roast the cob nuts first of all, and then I caramelise them. So, and that's done for two reasons. One, it enhances the roasted flavour of the nut, but also it coats it and stops any of the oil from the natural oil from the nut coming out and spoiling the appearance of the chocolate. But when I make the caramel, I do take it until it's quite dark, so that because you don't really want to be sweetening the nut, because the chocolate has obviously got sweetness in it, and you just want to have the flavour. So and this is all done by hand. So the caramelised nuts are spread out on a sheet, and then once that sets and goes hard, I then have to sit there and break them all up.
Well, that's not easy, is it, breaking a nut caramelised?
No, it really isn't. So it takes quite a long time to do that. And then they are then coated twice in chocolate, so that you've got the right balance of the flavour of the chocolate and the nut.
And how long did it take you to develop that particular product?
Well, the caramelising came in, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, after a suggestion. I do buy a lot of my nuts from Alexander from Potash Farm, and I also get some from Hurstwood Farm. Mm. Do you know them? Yeah. Who produce the cob nut oil? Mm. And it was something that Richard Dane from there said to me, another chocolatier had said to him about caramelising. So I thought, Well, I'll
so before that, you didn't actually caramelise.
I didn't caramelise
it. And presumably had difficulties.
They still tasted fine, but sometimes the chocolate would spoil, and it would still, as I say, it would still taste fine, but just wouldn't look so right.
I find that really fascinating because it's something that I'm really keen on. It's the collaboration amongst Kent businesses that I really love, you know, the learning process that we all go through by talking to each other and getting tips from each other, and all the networking and all the advice that everyone gives to everybody else. I just think makes working in Kent so much more pleasant, and it enables you to develop things in the way that you said.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I'm actually a member of Produced in Kent, which has helped me enormously. And so you speak to other producers, and like you say, you pick up hints and tips, but also business contacts. I mean, I'm in negotiations with another member of Producing Kent at the moment about producing a particular type of chocolate for them that, that we would then both, you know, as long as obviously we can get it to the standard we want.
And that's the other problem with small businesses, because you're so focused on your produce and you're often a one-man band, you don't always get the opportunity to go out and actually engage with people in the same business. And that's why obviously things like Producing Kent and other networking groups are so important, even though they do seem to detract from what your primary purpose is, but it's part of growing your business.
That's it. It is.
So tell me about you say, I noticed on your website that you've got 21 different chocolate bars. There's quite a variety there.
It is, yes. Well, it's trying to sort of appeal to a broad range of customers, you know, because everybody is different in what they like. I would say, with regards to the chocolate bars, I sell more milk chocolate bars than anything else. But you do get people with a very strong like or dislike, especially, I find, of white or dark chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
And although the white chocolate that I use is not overly sweet, I know a lot of people find, you know, sort of the more commercial brands of white chocolate can be quite sickly unless you're 6 years old.
Can I ask a really, 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 really dumb question?
Yep.
Because I've never thought about this until you just started talking about it. What is it that makes the chocolate white? How do you make it white?
It doesn't actually have the cocoa mass in it.
Right.
So technically, it isn't really chocolate because it doesn't have the cocoa mass, but it's got cocoa butter in, and obviously it's always been called white chocolate, and that's what we know it as.
Yeah.
So that's why. So because it hasn't got the cocoa mass, it's got more of the cocoa butter and sugar in it, so that's why it tends to be quite sickly.
This is totally relevant. When I was six, I won a Milky Bar kick competition. I'm just telling you.
So you had the horn rimmed glasses and the cowboy hat and red and black checkered shirt.
I did. I won a Milky Bar kick competition. I just thought I'd drop that into the competition.
Yeah, I bet that on Twitter.
I was going to say, I bet Jules will pick up on that. Well, thank you very much, Debbie, for all that. It's interesting, and we're going to be sampling some of your delightful chocolates in a moment. It's Debbie. She's at 3W's
lintonchocolates.co.uk. Linton-chocolates.
Yes, Linton-chocolates. Is it actually chocolate or chocolates?
Chocolates.
Oh, because it's unlike your Twitter handle.
So, chocolates with a...
because I couldn't get that many letters on the Twitter handle.
Okay, so I'll read it again. 3Ws, linton-chocolates.co.uk. And you can get her also on at Linton-chocolate, without the S, on Twitter. So, welcome. Thank you very much for your contribution today, and we look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the future, hopefully.
Great.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Do join in with the rest of the show, though, Debbie. It's a pleasure to have you here, especially as you've got chocolate.
I do find I'm genuinely quite welcoming most places.
Yes, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are.
Or when people pop round for coffee. Oh, you got any chocolate? Well, actually, I don't keep it at the house, funnily enough.
Are you sure? You must have some.
Usually the seconds.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Rightio. I've
had a tweet from Intolerant Wife, and Jules has jumped in as well. Apparently, and I think I'm right about this, because it's one of Jules's tweets, and she must be four carafes down by now, so they're getting more and more incoherent. I think that on Sunday, this coming Sunday, between 6:30 and 8:30 p.m, at the Intolerant Wife, there is a performance by slide guitar master John Emile, And there's a special offer to Scoff and Quaff listeners. What that special offer is, I have no idea.
Oh, okay. She didn't bother to inform
she
me.
She ran out. I think at that point she fell over and went to sleep.
Is there not another tweet coming then?
Quite possibly, but we don't know when it'll arrive.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Exactly. If anybody spots a missing tweet from Spain, it's ours.
Okay. Right. Well, let's move swiftly on. Up and coming events, we have a Love Cheese Night. On Saturday, September the 20th. This is run by our friend, the Fat Carrot, who is not a fat at all.
Oh, Jane Apps.
Yes, Jane Apps.
Who is neither a carrot or fat.
No, exactly.
Exactly.
And that's on at the... It's the charity for the thing is a Spadework charity. It's £28 per person, and it's on at the Offham... Village Hall, I seem to remember.
Mm. Offham's just outside Westmorland.
Yeah, that's right. So please go along to that. We also, she says that she's actually going to be around tomorrow on the 17th of September at Lamberhurst Farm, 8:30 to 12. On Thursday the 18th from 9 to 11 at Shibben Market. And on the 20th, she'll obviously have the Love Cheese Night, which is often near, as you say, near Westmorland. And then on the 21st, she will be at... Aylesford Farmers Market, which is 9:30 till 1:30, and also at Western Farmers Market. How she splits herself in two? Perhaps it's one of those carrots.
Maybe she's got a baby carrot.
Yeah, well, perhaps she's a baby carrot or a daddy carrot or something. Anyway, that's Jane the Fat Carrot at the Fat Carrot 11. Now, perhaps we can just play a little song, and then we'll introduce Steve Wood from Aylesford Farmers Market.
Yeah, I will do. We have had a missing tweet from...
Oh, you found it.
From one, but she's moved on now. Spot on. Networking, very important to garner ideas and help. There must be a delay to her listening in Spain. We must be...
It might be alcohol related.
It's probably alcohol related, and probably someone's translating for her as well. So probably translating from English into Spanish, back into English, and then trying to wake her and revive her at the same time. Yeah. I would imagine.
Yes,
I would imagine. Yeah. But you'd like some more music,
yes,
I understand.
Well, we'll just put some music, and I can phone up Steve, and we'll get him on the line.
Okay. Well, I thought we'd play a bit of Chrissie Hynde. What do you reckon?
Yes, that's
did
sounds
you
good
hear
to me.
Her at Hyde Park on Sunday?
Yeah, that's what really made me want to do it. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Fabulous. We'll be right back.
Hello. Back, well, welcome back again. Now we have Steve Wood from Aylesford Farmers Market on the line, and he will be talking all about his antics over the last week or so and hopefully telling us about Aylesford Farmers Market. Over to you, Steve.
Good morning, John. How are you? You all right?
Yes, I'm fine. I've just been scoffing some of these rather delightful cob nuts coated in dark chocolate.
He's got a mouthful of chocolate, Steve, is what he's trying to tell you, which is why he was a bit late coming in there, because he was trying to swallow before he talked. Yeah?
I was trying to get the most in whilst Jules is sunning it somewhere else.
Well, you will get left out if Jules had been there. I must admit, I'm a bit disappointed. I'd have come down myself.
You stoic.
Yeah. Funny, you're not the only one to say that, Steve.
Yeah, morning, Debbie, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. You, Steve?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
And they are delicious. They really
are. I know. Yeah, I bump into Debbie occasionally around the countryside at different events.
Uh-huh.
And we always go and see her first because she's such a nice girl.
Yeah, we were just commenting earlier about Jane splitting herself on Sunday at Aylesford and also at Western Farmers Market. How does she manage to do that? She can't
she's
be
got an apprentice carrot.
Oh, okay. Does he get, or she get dressed up in a carrot uniform as well?
No. No, I don't think she's making her do that, because Jane does like, she's a bit theatrical, isn't she? So she does do some great stuff. If you haven't seen it, Jane's got a great video on her website.
Yeah, well, she came in, I think, as a swan one time when she was on the radio show. Quite what the significance of that was, I fail to remember, but she came dressed in as a swan.
Just very graceful, I'm sure. There's always a very good reason for everything she does. And as I say, you have to look at her website and see some of her videos.
Yeah.
Because they are all very amusing, very interesting, and they've all got a sort of hidden meaning, something to do with vegetarianism or animals, normally.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, I'll have a look at her website.
And when I say animals, I mean the not-eating of animals, as opposed to...
Yeah, sure, she's vegetarian.
Eating them, yes.
Well, come on, tell us all about what you've been up to and what's happening at Aylesford Farmers Market.
Well, I've been rushing around the countryside, as you know. Last week I spoke to you from the speciality food fair, which was very good, and enjoyed that. I'm off to, where am I off to tomorrow? Somewhere interesting. Street Food Live tomorrow I'm off to.
Okay.
And that's another exhibition, because I do feel the going to the exhibitions are very important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to turn this into a business bunker, but I know Paul will be right behind me on this. A lot of the smaller companies don't go and do these things because they think they're too busy, but you can find so much information and make so many contacts at these things, you'll probably end up saving yourself a bit of time, saving yourself a bit of money, and be busier in the long run. So I'm rushing around the countryside looking at these, seeing if they're any good. I'm also trying to make contacts at these events for Kent Farmers Market Association, because we're trying to work on discounts for our members. And I'll come back and talk to you about that probably a little further down the line. And running the farmers markets, which takes up most of my time. And this Sunday, as you know, we're at Aylesford Priory.
That's right, indeed. Lovely location.
It's great, yeah. It's a very historic place, which is very nice. And we've got a great market there. Over 37, I think, stalls booked this Sunday. Not the biggest market we do, which is Tunbridge, which has about 70, but still plenty. It's a nice morning out, because you can come to the market. There's normally another event on somewhere around in the place, and the place is good to look around. You know, you can come and have a wander around the grounds, look at the gardens and stuff like that. And of course, we have our fantastic demonstration kitchen, which I think you've been on, haven't you?
Yes, I've been on several times when I come down the. Matthew managed to rope me in and talk a bit about Scoff Quaff and so forth. No, it's and I met John the Baker, and of course Campervan Chef, who's been on the show.
Yeah, they will be doing stuff this Sunday. John the Baker normally tries to do something every month. We're trying to get the customers to ask him one month what they want him to bake the next month. So you know, if people don't know how to bake something, he can do that.
Yeah.
Campervan Chef is always there promoting his catering business. So it's a good little show. We've got jazz as well this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So there's about an hour of jazz going on. That's in two half-hour sections. And, of course, we've got our monthly prize draw, which is sponsored by you.
That's right. We sponsor it every week, or three weeks in the month, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do a different draw at each market. Basically, what happens is the customers come along, and every time they purchase something off some of the producers aren't all in it, but there's about 20 in it. They get a draw ticket, which is drawn the next month, and this month's prize is £200 worth of vouchers, which can be spent at that market, or if the producers that give the vouchers away are at any of the other markets, they can go and spend them at the other markets, you see.
Well, that's good. That's good.
So that keeps us
And who's the charity you've got this week?
Mischief. Charity, this we always try and get local people in, and we always give a free pitch every month to a charity, and this month we've got Owsford Scouts, which is very nice because they are based on the Priory site as well.
Uh-huh.
But the only reason they're there, from the, off the top of my head, I could be wrong on this, but I think their scout hut had sort of had it. So the fires down at the Priory gave them some space to use, and they're down there until they can raise some money to put the scout hat back up again. But that's why they'd be at the market, selling a few books and a few bits and pieces. They normally have a tombola. So they'll be trying to raise money for their scout hat, so it's always good to support them.
And tell me a bit about that lovely stall that sells all these lovely peppers and spiced pickled onions that we see at most of the farmers' markets.
Ah, the Love Chili stall.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm a little bit biased on that one.
Can't imagine why.
No, I had no idea. That was that's how I got into the farmers' markets, because originally I started off growing chilies, just to sell fresh chilies to people, and I've got to admit that didn't go too well. Probably if I did it now, as opposed to 12 years ago, it would go a storm. But like a lot of these things,
it's timing, isn't it?
Yeah, some of us get in too early, and then the rest reap the rewards. I mean, this month in the trade press, they were saying that chili sauce now pretty much outsells all the other sauces. Tabasco is now outselling Worcester sauce, which has been a favourite in this country. And nowadays, everybody is on the chili bandwagon. But, you know, we started it first. So on that stall, we have all our jams. We do a couple of different chili jams. We probably do the hottest chili jam in the country, and we do dipping sauces, and of course our famous pickled onions.
Those lovely pickled onions.
Can I interject there? Do you do chili chocolate?
Well, I was just about to say, has Steve tried my chili chocolate? Because yes, I do.
I have,
and it's a great sort of enhancer, isn't it, of the chocolate? It really brings it out.
Yeah, they work well together because the flavours work well, and of course both of those, the chili and the chocolate, were the food of the gods, where they, because they're all both from the New World, the Americas, and down south, where they were quite civilised, apart from the bit of human sacrifice.
What's a bit of human sacrifice between friends when we've got, when we've got coffee, chocolate, and and chilies? Montezuma, make him have it.
I'd probably sacrifice my best friend for a large amount of chili and chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they naturally go together, and they naturally come from the same part of the world.
Yeah. That's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, I love chocolate and I love chilies. So,
have you tried them together?
Yes, yes, I have indeed. But you were mentioning about Worcester sauce in the fact it's perhaps not as popular as it used to be, but I still use a lot of it, I must admit, in my cooking, just to give it a little bit of a lift.
I use a dash here and there, but I must admit, I prefer balsamic vinegar now, I find it.
Well, that's the other in thing, isn't it, in cooking these days, is balsamic vinegar. I notice that keeps appearing in many different recipes. Yes, well, Steve, anything else you want to say?
No, I think we've just about got there now.
Well, apart from saying, of course, that you're one of our sponsors this week, which I failed to mention.
Most weeks.
Alongside, yes, well, you're once every month you're at Aylesford, and then the other Sundays in the month you've got Aylesford, Tunbridge, and, of course, Elm Court.
That's it, Elm Court on the first Sunday of the month, which is up the top of Boxley Hill.
Yeah,
and second Sunday is Tunbridge, which is the biggest market in Kent now by quite a long way. I think in the end we had about 75 stalls at the last market.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was absolutely heaving. So,
And are you going to, planning to expand at all?
No, if I can help it.
You're busy enough as it is. Yeah. You need one Sunday off a month.
it's one of those things with as everybody that runs their own business will know, you start off doing one thing, that leads to another, and then you decide you're not going to go any further down that route, you're going to go that way, and everything changes, and you end up doing something a little bit different, and it just depends who you bump into and who you talk to, and it just takes you in different directions. But at the moment, no plans to do another market. I just haven't got the time.
Yes, time is a precious commodity. Well, thank you very much, Steve, and for coming on and telling us about Aylesford Farmers Market, and wish you well on Sunday.
Brilliant. Hope we'll see a few people there from the show on Sunday. John, thank
I'm
you
sure.
Very
well,
much.
I will try and get down there if I can.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Debbie. Thank
Cheers,
you
Steve.
All the chocolate. Save me one.
Yeah, we will. Good to hear from you, mate. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll try and get to see you on Sunday at the Farmers Market.
Lovely. See you later.
Take care, mate.
Cheers,
bye.
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 Steve Wood there from Farmers Markets. The rogue tweet has turned up.
Oh, I see. It has.
Yeah, the rogue tweet has turned up that explains what the special offer is this Sunday.
Oh. So what is this special offer?
I was right. I had switched on my psychic powers. It is at the Intolerant Wife. And there's an offer until 12:30 today. So you have 35 minutes to get this in. If you book a table for three or more people this Sunday at the Intolerant Wife, one person dines for free this Sunday evening, and they've got entertainment and everything. There is a long link to where you book the table, which is completely impossible to read on Twitter. So I suggest what you do, if you want to book that and get your discount via the Scoff and Quaff show, is to follow Intolerant Wife on the Twitter, and then you can find out how to book your table for this Sunday. But you need to get in quick, and you need to do it in the next half an hour.
Yep. Okay, thank you very much. We've also had a tweet in from at Chef Danny Davis talking about young chefs from the age of 11 till 16. It's part of the Produced in Kent Young Chef Awards for 2014. This will be held at East Kent College, and the closing date for any potential and budding young chefs is the 24th of October. That's the 24th of October to enter into the Young Chefs Produced in Kent Awards for 2014. You can go on the 3Ws Produced in Kent.co.uk, I presume /or-, Young Chefs, to get the download the form for submission. So that's Young Chefs Award. What else we had? Well, we've had Little Brit Capery, who's a capery business, tweeted in, so welcome to them. We've also had a camper van chef we mentioned earlier, and we've had
I'm reading some of her tweets on here.
Is she still on the sangria?
This probably explains a lot, doesn't
yeah,
it?
I won't even begin to tell you what she's talking about at the moment, because we couldn't possibly mention it on air, because there isn't anywhere in the world where there's a watershed that it would pass.
Wow.
Just saying, like... Sorry, John, sorry to interrupt you.
That's all right. I'll read those later, rather than on air. Mm. Also, we've had Easy Bean. That's bean producers at Easy Bean. Welcome to them. And we've had a number of farmers. And also at Arcade Fisheries. That's a fisheries arcade and shop in Hastings.
Cool. Well, that's about the end of the show. I've had one last tweet from Jules. But I will read it because it's apposite. She's now given me a shortened link for booking the table, which is pdq.at/table. pdq.at/table. I'm not going to read any more of Jules's tweets because they are quite literally pornographic. And she must be, what, four bottles down by now?
I would think so, at least.
It is coming up to lunch, so she's probably just girding herself to start on lunch.
I think you're going to really raise her followers after telling people that she's tweeting pornographically.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's Jules for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Scoff and Quaff.
Yeah, so you almost got it wrong. You almost mentioned the Inferior Radio Show,
yeah,
didn't
absolutely.
You?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for listening to Scott McCoff Show. Jules will be back next week if the air ambulance can deliver her safely back here.
With her pornographic literature in tow, no doubt.
Exactly. You've been listening to Dr. John Sykes and our guest Debbie from Linton Chocolates, also Steve Wood and Vincent from the Dutchy Arms
in Kennington.
Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up on Channel Radio at 1 o'clock is the absolutely fabulous Business Bunker show
with Angel Shirkin,
so it'll be even better. You can tune in at 1 o'clock to the Business Bunker show. After that, at 3 p.m. is Kevin Cann with Extra Milk. At